Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How was that? How was that able to, we got people, what, calling in?
Yes.
Patricia?
Yes.
No? Okay, we're holding.
Hello.
Hello. Normally we would hear music.
I'm sorry. Now do you hear me? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was talking.
Praise
I was on mute. Silly me. Absolutely.
Well, welcome
to Words and Lyrics. you did. You missed the song, everything. We can do the song, so not a problem. Because it's special. Okay, pray for the overseer. Okay. Here's our song, Oceans. Our song is Oceans by Windsong, because we want to be able to walk on out on water, places that our feet wouldn't take us, because this is a supernatural transformation. So as you listen to the words of this song, we pray that it will prepare our minds and our hearts to receive the power of the supernatural to transform us. Oceans.
You call me out upon the water.
Yes. He calls us out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there we find in him the mystery. In the ocean deep, our faith will stand. We will call upon your name, O Lord. We will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and keep our eyes above the waves. When the oceans rise, our soul will rest in your embrace. For we are yours and you are ours. Something we have to always remind and encourage our souls of, that I am his and he is mine. And then as he works this transformation in our lives and in our hearts, we'll trust in him. His grace will abound in the deep waters that we're about to tread. His sovereign hand will guide us. We remember that he has our hands, and where feet will fail and fear surrounds, we will have him, because he never fails and he won't stop us.
Oh,
and so as
I hate to interrupt.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I can hear people. We have some new people on the line, and I don't know if they understand to put their phones on mute.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Amen. Not a problem.
If they're listening, please put your phones on mute. I forgot to add that in the instructions. There are several people that are new and calling in to listen and see if they like it, but they didn't realize. You need to put your phones on mute, people, because we can hear everything you're doing. I'm so sorry.
Amen.
All right.
No problem. Thank you so much. Thank you for the evangelistic heart that is yours, that you share this Friday fellowship with others, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate their presence. And so we do want to acknowledge that there are technical issues with Blog Talk from time to time, and sometimes we do forget. I put my phone on mute and forget to take it off, and I'm talking and no one hears me. And so we do. We thank you, though, for paying attention to that request, and already the filters are much better, and I pray everybody can hear me well as well. And so we want to start in our study of this supernatural transformation, that it is a matter of the heart. And we started last week by breaking down the nature of man. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And within the spirit is the innermost part of man's being. And this is where the heart is. This is where the very seat and identity of man is emulating from. And initially, because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that spirit in us was not the spirit of the living God. And so it was only when Christ came and brought us the joy and the hope of full salvation, and then the promise of the Holy Spirit that will now dwell in that spirit man that's in the very inner part of us. That is where the spirit dwells. That is the seat from which everything that we do, think, and feel comes from, and it affects the soul, which is what's immediately around our spirit. And our soul is made up of our will, of what we, our will, our mind, and our emotion. And so what we end up having is a trail, if you will, that is actually can be tracked of exactly how we function and what generates the movement within our lives, because the outside is the body. And so what generates the body, what moves the body, what gets the body in place are those things that come from our soul, which are the things that come from our spirit. And so now we see the journey of our actions. Man doesn't know who we are until that final journey from the soul to the body then reveals who we are and what is in our spirit man. And what is there then becomes what we come to know as the fruit of the spirit. The author shares with us some information about the original fruit of that spirit in this verse, in this study. The original fruit of that spirit that's in us, shaped in iniquity, is lovers of ourselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, strong-headed, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's what was emulating from that spirit that we had. And now that we have been born again, we've been born of a different spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit. That is who is given to us as a guarantor to bring forth fruit, to bring forth actions from the body that will reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's that supernatural transformation. Supernatural transformation. And so going from lovers of ourselves to those that are emulating the fruit of the Spirit. And so we had said that what we would do is as we read, we would become mindful of the fruit of the Spirit and how that is manifesting itself in our life. And as a result, what the condition, as the sheet that we had, our fruit inspection, what the condition of our fruit is. And it will emulate what the condition of our heart is. We were given insight on the Sermon on the Mount of what the 33 precepts or physical, not physical, but our spiritual spirit man should be. And in that, in those 33 assessments, we need to identify when it is not. And when it is not, it is because one of the fruit has not come to full maturity and abundance. And it's not that we don't have it, but we may have it, but it's dwarfed or it's wrinkled or it's dry or it is yet developing into the fullness of God. So I am frantically looking for my stuff that I can't find. Okay, so when we had stopped last week, we had stopped with acknowledging the fruit of meekness was what we wanted to look at, and we wanted to look at it as it relates to a humble heart, a whole heart, and a hardened heart. And so, who did their life work? The fruit of meekness. What did we find out about the fruit of meekness? anybody. Hello? I know you're there.
Yeah, Minister Paulette. I was trying to find notes. Fruit of meekness. Well, when I looked up meekness, let me see if I got it right, because the fruit of meekness, maybe that's not it. I had looked up some scriptures. Now I don't even see what it is. Fruit of meekness. Whatever different scriptures on meekness. And I wasn't really sure exactly what you wanted, but there were different scriptures, and I thought I had wrote them down, but for some reason, let me look. Okay. In Corinthians, it says, well, let me go up.
While you're looking for that.
Okay. No, I see it.
I'm going
to. Meekness, folks. Go ahead.
I was going to say, while you're looking for that, we're going to go over what the dictionary says about meekness. And so, looking it up, okay, and we've lost even what the, that's when our devices don't do what we want them to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Okay, so we're going to read the assessment of a meek person. And while we're doing this, think about what is meekness to you? What do you know a meek person? Okay, one of the definitions that meekness is a personality trait. Meekness is a personality trait. And this personality, and I thought it was very interesting that this was the definition that was given it, because, hello, you know, we got a lot of issues going on here today. Shouldn't be nothing over there. Okay, and that's interesting because the personality trait should be ours, but because of the Holy Spirit. So meekness, and truly it is a fruit of the Spirit, and when meekness is defined, it is defined as a personality trait. And so that personality trait is of Holy Spirit. So what does it look like? And we often I don't know what the deal is here this morning. Okay, what is meekness? Okay. And so it shares the fact that meekness is an attribute of human nature. It has been defined in several ways. It's righteousness, humble, teachable, and patient under suffering, long-suffering, willing to follow teaching, and an attribute of a true disciple. Okay. And so when we look at meekness, we don't want to confuse it with humility because it's totally different. Humility is a state of mind. It is a choice you make. Meekness is a personality trait you don't have a choice for. It's the personality trait of the Holy Spirit. And as he dwells within you, that personality should then start to influence your thinking, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so your response to life should change. Your response to your situation should change, because it should now start looking like me, personality of Holy Spirit. And so when we assess that fruit, we have several questions we have to ask ourselves. And we should be able to, and I don't think most people are, immediately, until we continue to be enlightened by Holy Spirit. But meekness says, I am willing to go under any yoke that God wants me to in order to be submissive to God and to one another of our mutual reverence for Christ. That's a long sentence. It includes several areas that have to be transformed, because we don't naturally come like that. There are some people that have that personality of meekness. When it is not born of Holy Spirit, it can often be distorted and look passive and weak, not born of Holy Spirit. It is it is a quiet, gentle spirit, but it's an obedient spirit. So if we in the area of our heart condition are not obedient, it's because we have to allow Holy Spirit to develop the fruit of meekness. And so be willing, not to do it, but be willing to do it, to go under any yoke. We talked about being yoked with Christ, understanding what that even looks like. He carried the burden of the weight of the burden. We're just yoked with him, walking humbly beside him. We looked at that and really realized that a lot of the things that we attempt to do, we attempt to do it when it is the commitment of the Lord to do it for us. Yoke, go under that yoke, any yoke. What's a yoke? When we hear that word, you know, what comes to mind? What is a yoke? Anybody?
Sort of like a harness to, like, for two to walk together, or like with the animals.
Very
they,
good.
They, you know, there is, if both of them are attached, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
I love
under
it.
That yoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two to walk together. So automatically we see a meek person is one that's being used. Owner. They're one that has made themselves available to the people around them. And it says, go under any yoke. Oftentimes, there may be things that God asks us to, sometimes a difficult marriage, a difficult child, a difficult church member. And he's asking us to get under that yoke with that person and walk mm-hmm. with them. Be submissive to them in order to bring about the will of God for their life. And so that has to be a journey that you can't grow weary in. You are committed to it because there's just no other way to live. That the life that God has given you, he's given you to yoke you in a particular call it situation, or with a certain person, and that commitment and or with any person. It's not even a third person, with any person. Maybe even a person you don't know or a person whose actions are offensive to you. But a meek person will become submissive to God and walk with that person for the mutual reverence of Christ. So in other words, you do it because that's who you are, not because of who they are or what the situation is or how you think the situation could come out or doesn't look like it should become is coming out right. None of that will matter to you. To a meek person, this is the will of God, and I freely and willingly accept all that God, in his providence, gives or withholds from me. So in other words, I willingly accept whatever, all, not whatever, but all, every single thing. Not picking and choosing like, oh, well, that's not my preference, or I'll do this, but not like that. And it's like that is not the kind of a walk that a meek person with a meek personality does not have that precept in their hearts any longer. Okay? It also says, I am willing to step aside when it is time to do so. I bring myself under the authority of Christ and his church. So I follow protocol. I am a member that is observing the authority over me. No matter whether I agree with it or not, I reverence it. I respect it. Even Christ said to his disciples when they asked about Caesar and the money, he said, you give Caesar what's due Caesar. Because that's who we are. That's the meekness of his spirit. We don't give it to them because they agree with us and they're on the same page as us or we plan on winning them over. No, it's I can't do anything other than to submit because it is the authority of Christ and the church over my life. It's where God planted me. I can glory in my infirmities, so that the power of God may be manifested within me. I deal with provocation without being inflamed by it. That's not easily offended, not easily wounded. I deal with provocation without being inflamed by it, without even being angry by it. I give a soft answer when angry words are spoken. I respect my own rights and the rights of others, willing to give up mine if God so guides me. And that's going to be a hard part. But if God so guides me to give up my rights, then I'm willing to do that because I am proactive, not a reactive. I relate to others as one among sinners and never arrogantly. And so those are, that's a tall order for meekness. But can you see how it will dispel a hardened heart? Because you're not offended. You are not easily provoked. You are have a tame heart because you surrendered. You're not going off seeking your own or even what's your own right to have. Oftentimes, individuals have that meek spirit that people feel is a weakness because they're not standing up for their rights. But they have come to understand that it is God who will stand up for their rights, so they don't have to. And so they're not troubled by their rights being offended. Rather, what would they do? They will pray for those who offend their rights because they understand that it is God who is their champion, and praying for them because there was at some point they offended someone and someone had to pray for them, not pray their punishment, but pray mercy because we cannot bear the true punishment of our behavior because that's death and hell. And so this meek spirit, this meekness, that's a spirit fruit characteristic will supernaturally change our heart condition in many ways and under many circumstances. And so the author shares what comes out of the heart being that fruit. And we're looking at it as the fruit of meekness, but then there's many fruit that the fruit of the Spirit that have to be a part of what is flowing from our heart. That's why he says that rivers of living water will flow from your heart. These living waters are the life of the Holy Spirit that manifests itself in love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And when you have that flowing into your life, it causes you to have a new outlook on your hope as well as your current situations and challenges. When you have something flowing to you that is rich in the things that are missing in this broken world, the things that are rare to find in this troubled, self-centered society, and you find someone who is willing, even you would be offended by you if you were honest with yourself. Even you don't like the way you think or do certain things. Even Paul said, when I would do right, I do wrong. Even you don't even like it. And yet here's a meek person that's coming in relationship with you, in the yoke, under the yoke of what you're bearing, coming with you. They don't agree. It is not their nature, but it's yours, and they don't discount you because of it, but rather they present themselves as instruments in order to establish the heart of God in the lives of the people that are around us. This is what comes out of the heart, this transformative fruit that comes forth from us. We realize is a good treasure. It is because it is all things are good, that God don't withhold any good thing from you. All goodness comes from him. And so it becomes a good treasure. It becomes something that's not really available anywhere else. You can't get it anywhere else. That's what makes a thing rare. That's what makes it valuable. That's what gives it demand, is when it's rare and it's not readily found anywhere and everywhere, nor is it easily secured, okay, even though the securement of it was through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he's reigning and interceding for us. However, that is a very valuable position to be in when you are allowed to be a part of his family and to receive the gift of being a child of the King and the Lord of Lords. And so that becomes a good treasure. And the other is that the heart with evil treasures disbelieves God. It is easily wounded. It's easily offended. It refuses to forgive. It's full of disobedience, selfishness, ambition, and pride. And it becomes hard. All of those things are against the nature and the personality of Holy Spirit. And so that heart that has that's easily wounded. And it's not that it is we're not really, I'm going to say, talking about sin so much as we're talking about the relationship and the process of overcoming the influence of sin, because we are dead to sin. But now we have to overcome its influence. And how do we do that? We do that by choosing. First, by knowing that it is a choice, and it is our choice. Christ, God told the children of Israel, choose you this day who you will serve. Well, he's saying that with every situation that comes our way. Choose. Choose a path that goes to God's truth. Choose the path that doesn't go to the enemy's, of the lies of the enemy, who will say, you know, they're not worthy of love because X, Y, Z, they've done something or they're doing something. And so as a result, they're not worthy of this love. And when we do that, then our thoughts then become opposed to the thoughts that God has for them. Because God says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, and they're thoughts that are good, and they produce a good thing, a good hope, a good future for you. But those are not the thoughts that we necessarily have when we are faced with situations that are negative if we are not meek, if we have not surrendered to the spirit personality, the new spirit that is in us, the spirit of the Holy God. If we have not surrendered and embraced that spirit and allow it to flow from us, then our thoughts then will not change. And if our thoughts do not change, then our emotions are going to resemble the evil thoughts that we have. And so our emotions will be one of hurt, one of offended, you know, because they're not pure emotions. These are emotions that come from the seat of the lie of Satan. And because we believed it, you know, and it's people don't deserve that people that fail don't deserve love. People that do certain things, they live in shame, and they don't deserve acceptance. And that's just how we deal with mankind and their actions that are against us. And I have this wonderful season that breaks it out so perfectly for us. And when we see it, we come to understand, well, God, you know what? I have to allow you to transform me with your truth so that your truth will change how I think about a thing. Because remember, as this comes from our spirit, it's going to affect our mind. And so no longer am I going to say, why did you say that to me? But what I am going to say is, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, how should I respond? Or, you know, he says, you know, you love one another, bear the infirmities of the weak. And so we get so involved in what God has said is for us to do, that we don't have to judge what other people have done, nor do we have to respond to them. So he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as a result, then what I'm thinking, what's in my mind, and then what's in my emotion is going to come out of my mouth. And that's our body. That's where our senses are, body, what I see, what I hear, what I touch, what I say. And so out of that abundance, out of that spirit of Holy Spirit of meekness or that spirit of pride or ambition or selfishness, then that's how your conversation is going to be. And our conversation so often, and I know someone, they always, you know, they say, oh, is there a lot of you holler? And so as a result, even if the conversation is good, if it is met with anxiety because of the frustration that's flowing from the heart, that would be fine, and it has taken on the look of raising my voice. We raise our voice when our children misbehave, and we told you, and I told you, I called you, and finally we were like, hi, Pat, get in here. Okay, we've come to a point where now we're offended. We are offended. We're often wounded by it. It's a selfishness. It really is, because I'm thinking of myself now, not you, even though, I mean, I would like to justify it. I'm really thinking about you. And even with our children, we really are thinking about what's best for them. And we really want so hard for them to get it, because we don't want them to suffer. And yet what God wants us to do is just give it to them And honestly, if they suffer, then that's the route they have to take. And it'll be okay. And that's that meekness that will require, what does it say? I will accept all at the hand. Where is it? Well, anyway, it says, you know, no matter what it is, all things, whatever he gives me, it's okay. I'm willing to step aside. And so there are times even that it may be that it's time for us to step aside and not continue to even share. How many times have we heard apostles say, there's no more prayer for you? And it's like, what? You're supposed to always pray for me. But a meek person understands when it's time to step aside. It is no longer, you know, what God wants me to do. And so if I do it, I'm doing it in my own flesh. I'm doing it with my own strength. And at that point, is that when I lose control of what's coming forth from me, because now it's no longer Holy Spirit. And so, you know, there is a repentance that has to happen as he brings these things to our understanding so that we learn to become meek. This is how we take on his character traits, is by identifying it and identifying what offends it and what's not in harmony with it, and then choosing to tear that down or to understand what my next step is. Now, for most people, they don't like the next step, because one of the processes in spiritual discipline is to put them out and to disassociate yourself with them. And most people, that's not what they want. You know, and that's more fearful. What is it with a kid when your mom doesn't holler and scream and you just you know, fuss at me, do something. You know, don't just act like nothing's wrong. It's like, oh, my God. Then you know you really messed up, okay? Nobody wants the silent treatment. But is that the place and the time where we learn to step aside? It's time to step aside. And in meekness, we do so not giving up, but surrendering to the authority of Christ and the church, because his truth has to come forth, and sometimes we're not the ones that can do it. You know, it's for someone else, or maybe it's for him. You know, for some things, you know, it says, you know, you want to be corrected by man or by God. You know, and there are times that he will allow man to impart into us, and there are times that he will just separate us from man, and he does the impartation. He does the pruning. He does the shaping and breaking, and then building up. All right. So as the author continues, he encourages us to monitor our hearts. And that's what we're doing, looking at the fruit inspection. That's how you monitor your heart. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. And so whatever's coming out the mouth, if it doesn't look like, okay, it does not look like the spirit of Holy Spirit, does not look like the fruit of the Spirit, then there's an issue. We need to stop, and we need to present it, evaluate it, and then surrender and obey. It says it is only when we keep God's word in our heart and follow his commandments and wisdom that our heart will produce a wellspring of life. And so there is a wisdom and there are commandments that we are not using to process the situations that are coming in our life. So we've chosen, there's only two ways to go. You either choose life or you choose death. You choose God's way or you choose Satan's way. There is no other way. And so we have to see it as black and white in that aspect. Because either you have to do it God's way or you're not going to do it God's way. And when you don't do it God's way, there is definite identifiable results that will warn you, inform you of error. And so as we stay in the commands and the commandments of God, stay in the word of God, and that's that giving that first fruit of your day to the Lord, you know, asking for the grace for that day. Grace is, you know, that divine enablement for me to assess every flow from my heart, and doing it most earnestly and most easily, and listening to what we say and how we say it and when we say it, and not just what we say, but when we see a thing. Sometimes you can look at a thing and you automatically, in your mind, you judge it. That means you went to the Spirit and you picked a truth, whether it was God's or Satan's, and then you caused that truth to come forth from your heart, and it came in your heart to your emotions, to your mind, or to your will, and it transformed your will into actions that affected your five senses. And so this is how we monitor our hearts, by always keeping the word of God before us. And not just the word of God, just as in this assessment of the fruit, it's the interpretation of the word of God. So when it says here, I am willing to go under any yoke that God wants me to, in order to be submissive to God and to one another, of our mutual reverence for Christ. So that's a lot being said, but that is how many scriptures can you see in just that one sentence? How many scriptures that were command of God for us that gives us wisdom to then be able to embrace the Spirit, the fruit, that particular fruit of the Spirit of meekness that will then cause us not to have an offended heart, nor a hardened heart, and it is how we guard our heart and watch over our heart and keep our heart. Proverbs tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the spring of life. And then above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And then watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows to your life, the springs of life. In other words, actions constantly flowing from us, emotions flowing from us that will then emulate the Spirit that's in us, which is Holy Spirit. And so the author goes on to say life begins in the heart. That's where our identity of how we are going to live will come forth. It's from that Spirit. And either you have the Spirit that's born in sin and shaped in iniquity and left in that state, or you have the Spirit of the living God because you have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. And in embracing Him, that starts the transformation, because that transformation has to come divinely. It can't come by our own will, nor our own strength, nor our own mind, not even from our own will. We must will to do, we must actually will that God will make us willing to do that which He has established. And then that's because He's chosen us. We didn't choose Him. He's chosen us. We have the fresh revelation about the heart. And that being primarily the fresh revelation about the heart, this book wants to establish exploring its purpose, motives, and potential. The journey of our human heart, looking at its purpose, its motivation, and its potential. It says we will come to understand and identify true self and make key decisions with respect to our inner man. Today, there is no place for being spiritually lukewarm. We cannot remain spiritually neutral. That's why I say it's either one way or the other. In this day and age, God is bringing fresh revelation to His people regarding the state of our hearts. We have to believe the reason is that the return of Jesus Christ to the earth is near. And but the very fact that hard times are here already, these are times that are discernible and that are broken. They are incredibly unbelievable, the things that are going on. And it says the basic cause for this degradation of human character is resulting from the iniquity that is entrenched in the human heart. In other words, it's so embedded. That's that unbelief, the layers of the hard soil that nothing seems to be able to penetrate when the seed is trying to infiltrate it and go into the roots of your heart. It's this stony rock that's there that's blocking it. Like God says, I'll take the stony heart out of my people. So he has promised to do this. He says, we are entering a period when our heart will be weighed and balanced to see which side we end up on. The situations in our life and the circumstances of the world will soon compel us to decide where our allegiance belongs. Is it to God or to selfish interests or to good treasures or to evil treasures? We will be prepared to make the right decision. Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Break up the fallow ground. So in other words, yes, there's a hard, stony heart. It's got to be broken up. And God is the one that's going to break it up. And we must allow the gardener to break up the soil of our heart. We must surrender in meekness to his sovereignty, so that as he takes us out on the waters where our feet will fail, that we will get strength because we are in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is in us. He becomes our spirit man, his Holy Spirit, and we will have the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we radically and permanently surrender to this transformation, permanent. It is not here today and back tomorrow. No. Once it is allowed to be broken up and that seed take place, that seed and that root starts to form, then that's when we become like the cedars of Lebanon planted by the river's water, where nothing will shake us. And our fruit will be in abundance, because it will be coming from the Spirit that we have allowed to transform our thinking, to break up our heart, to impugn into us the righteousness of Christ by receiving his wisdom, by seeking his commandments and his truth, and surrendering ourselves to his sovereignty. His will, no matter what it looks like, is good with me. His will, no matter what it feels like, is what's best for me. His will, no matter how people think about it, it's all right with me. There is a satisfaction of knowing who's in charge. So no matter what it looks like, because he's in charge, then it looks good to me. But that's because we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And so that's part of where we end up at the end of chapter 1 and the introduction to the book and the things that are to come within the book. He says we'll also discover the purpose of a broken heart, as well as how to surrender our hearts completely to the Lord. And it's interesting because some of the things that the world tells us, you know, are negative and bad, and we don't want, like a broken heart. He said, you're going to understand why it's good to have one. And then you'll see it differently. God works in contrast to the way the world thinks. And that's why that bedrock, those stony, unbelieving layers in our hearts, is because man has said it for so long, and it seemed like it made sense that we believed man and not God. And God is saying, no, a broken heart is a good thing. and let me show you why. And one of the things we're going to understand is because it had to be broken, because what was in our spirit, which is where our heart is, it was what came out of the Garden of Eden. Now what we want in our heart is what came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, which is a surrendered heart and soul to him. And so it has this point, we are able, again, like Adam had an opportunity, now we have an opportunity to obey and to choose God and to receive the perfection of the promise of God. And so as we've ended chapter 1, what was in chapter 1 that was particularly helpful for you? What one thing do you think will start your transformation? These are things that as we read, we need to journal and write down so that, like, when you're asking on the phone, you got it right on the top of your head or in your notebook. Amen. Apostle said, allow her faith to break up the fallow ground so that other people can walk and not stumble, because what's issuing out of her heart will be wells of life, power, and holiness. Amen. Anybody else?
Mine is to stop allowing the enemy to make me feel that, to get in my feelings and receive God's will and purpose for my life.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? So what is going to transform us? After having read, what is going to transform us? I think one of the things that stood out for me was wisdom. Wisdom will transform us. And I guess it stood out because that's the one thing he says, if you don't have it, ask me, I'll give it to you. So I will ask fervently and expectantly for wisdom to see what I need to embrace for this transformation. And I believe he'll give it to me, wisdom. Okay, anybody else? Hello? Okay. I wasn't sure if somebody else was trying to talk.
Overseer, as
yes,
always, as always, I will try to be honest. But I read chapter 1, actually twice, but at two different times. And and I wasn't getting it. And I felt like the duck with the water running off my back. I didn't quite get it. Mm-hmm. So I found myself saying, okay, well, perhaps I need to go back. And you know how you want to go back and you sit and you be quiet and you're expecting something to just hit you on the head or something. But I'm just gonna be honest. I really would need to go over it again. I just know I do. To see what I can get from it. Well, for one thing, I know that one thing I was looking and waiting to hear the end. This is the end and going in, and I had got over into chapter 2 when I heard her say, we discussed in chapter 1, I go, oh, Lord, I'm past chapter 1. So you got to go back and get adjusted to this book. That's the best way I can put it. I've got to get adjusted to this book and hear it, really hear it.
Uh-huh.
So
amen.
That's a part of the transformation. Is me hearing, and you said yours was wisdom, well, and understanding, mm-hmm. understanding what I am
okay.
hearing. Yeah, understanding mm-hmm. what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Okay, now this is what I want to share with you. You want to understand what you're hearing. You had just shown two parts of the human makeup. Your body, that's what you hear, and your understanding,
mm-hmm.
that is your, remember we got the diagram, and I make reference to this diagram all while I'm reading. That's your soul. So
mm-hmm.
your understanding is your soul. Now, you started on the outside with hearing, because that's the part
mm-hmm.
that we see most easily. That's the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the world sees, is our physical body. But then you said
mm-hmm.
To hear and then to understand. Now, that's where our soul comes in. But now you have to go one further. What is affecting my soul? That's your spirit. Now, that's where Holy Spirit dwells, is in that spirit part, that inner core. So you're saying I need to hear, and then I need to understand. And so now the Lord is showing you, this is how you search your heart. You need to go in your heart and do some fruit inspection, because what should be dwelling in your heart is Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit? What looks like Him? Love, joy, peace, patience. So when you do that fruit inspection, and whatever fruit that you come up with lacking, that's not a really good score, that's a good
mm-hmm.
place to start, because that shows you that this part of Holy Spirit is not manifesting in your soul, which is your understanding. Okay? This is why He said, hide my commandments in your heart with wisdom. And that's so that it will flow from your heart to your soul, which is your thinking, your understanding. It'll be your mind, and it'll be your emotions. And when it does that, then it will change. It will change what you hear. It really will. You will really hear. And I love it. It says, and I can hear what you're saying. You know, I can see now. I can see what you're saying. Not hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We always hear it, but do we see
mm-hmm.
it? See is,
mm-hmm.
is understanding it. And so I think that's an awesome place to be at. And so there is a revelation that He just gave you. You need to understand what you hear and what you see,
mm-hmm.
and you need to understand it by evaluating, and you said honesty, evaluating the fruit of the Spirit that's in your heart, because that's what is going to make everything else fall in line. And that's what starts the transformation. I think that the author, as he's sharing the physical, he did a lot of sharing the physical aspect of the heart, and then relaying it to the spiritual function of the heart. And I think as we keep going back and forth in the understanding of what the heart physically does, it will give us more insight as to what the heart or the Spirit of God is supposed to be physically doing spiritually to us, if He can make sense to you. This is what He's physically doing to me spiritually. Yep. Because He changes
yeah.
our physical by His
spiritual. I am.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. This is it's just like a somewhat of a little difficult time at times. I
mm-hmm.
had an interruption, I'll go back to hear what you said. But at some point in time, I had to leave the class, and I got a therapist
okay.
coming. So, but I'm back.
No problem.
But thank you. Thank you, yes. And I hope
absolutely.
Those that hope that those that I invited are listening, or if they're still on, if they made it on, I hope that you're getting something, from it. And I appreciate you coming on.
Amen. Amen. And I'm excited that you came on, because it clearly says that he's bringing us to a place where we have to evaluate some things and get into a position. So, anybody else? Thank you.
Good morning, Overseer. Oh, I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to speak on for clarification and more understanding if she would go back and read Galatians and it talks about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and the work of the Holy Spirit. That would give her proper understanding of who the Holy Spirit is.
Mm-hmm.
Especially chapter 5, verse 22 through 26, it also tells of the different fruits of the Holy Spirit. And if you have a Amplified Bible, it would tend to simplify a lot of what has been said to make it easier to understand.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I found out if you pray before you start reading for understanding and clearance, you kind of can get to understand what you're reading a little bit better.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Elder?
Yeah, good morning. I was just going to say that when you were asking, as I was reading the end of this chapter, I was kind of trying to get into this whole e-book thing, having some struggles, like you said, technically. But the whole distinction between where it talks about our attitude is really indicative of what's really going on in our hearts. And I know for me, I separate those two things because I feel like I have intellectually, I know what the word is saying, and then I know intellectually, like maybe what I might be feeling emotionally, based on something, whatever the circumstances are. But, the way this writer kind of looks at it, it's like it's almost one in the same. If your attitude is to the left, then you really need to be examining your heart. You really can't separate, at least from what I'm reading here. It seems like he's feeling like you really can't separate it. And then also where it talks about that as we go further in the book, that we're going to be able to discover the purpose for the brokenness of the heart. And it says as well as how to surrender our hearts completely to the Lord so that it can be a reflection of his own heart for love and justice and joy and all the other divine qualities. The last thing says, do you want to change your life? Change your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think that we hold on. I know that sometimes I hold on to things that I can justify for whatever reason, and usually things that we can justify in the natural, then those are the things we tend to share because we can get people on our side with that, and sometimes, oftentimes when I find myself in that situation, God will be like, just shut up. Don't even, because there's certain people that we might be able to influence, and being able to talk about it intelligently and all those kinds of things makes it almost seem like it's okay for us to hold whatever position execute whatever behavior when, in fact, that's still against God. We may be justified in the natural. But the very last, if I can read these the last three sentences, and I'm assuming this is the last three in this chapter. Like I said, I'm still trying to figure out this whole ebook thing. But where it says, the psalmist wrote, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." That's out of Psalms 51:6.
Yes.
God has provided the only solution for the corruption of the human heart: repentance, identification with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, new birth through the Spirit of God, and an ongoing transformation into the image of our Creator. And then it references the scripture, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, from 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he ends that by saying, you can become a new person, a new creation, through the supernatural transformation of your heart. And I think a lot of times we don't really want to be new people. I mean, because sometimes in that whole being new and having that the heart of Christ, in the natural, it make me look weak. When you were talking about humility and meekness, not that those mean weakness, but the whole idea in the colloquial term, with the way we look at it now, that if I just say, okay, I forgive you, and everybody knows maybe what you did to me, you know, sometimes it's our pride that's standing in the way. Not that we don't know that we need to forgive the people, but we don't want to be viewed as I don't want to say diminished in our bravado or diminished in our, I guess it's self-righteousness. I don't know what other word. It's the only word that comes to mind. To be on God's side, because you can look weak. You can look as though people are taking advantage. That God is making us appear to be foolish. You know, but it is in our weakness that His strength is actually, you know, perfected in us. You know, Joan. That's all. First off, I'm getting choked. So that must mean it's the end of my conversation.
Getting choked up. I think it's so perfect, because some of the things that we need to know are very clearly in front of our eyes, and we don't see them because of what's in our heart. So our physical eyes don't see, because our soul is not affected by our spirit, which is Holy Spirit. We're still being affected by the spirit of the first Adam. And so you know, even as you were sharing that, it was like, now honestly, I can't get through this book without this diagram. This diagram has just been so important to me, because it keeps showing me this is the inner circle. It's touching this circle, and this circle is touching that circle. And so, you know, truly, you know, what's in my heart is going to touch what I got to look at my diagram again. My will, my mind, and my emotions. And those from those things are going to come my senses, what I say, what I see, you know, what I hear. You know, because if you have a certain mindset, which comes from a certain spirit that's your inner man, then you won't, even some things you won't see, or some things you will see and hear, and they will become disgusting to you. And in the past, they were pleasant. So now you can understand how just that association of those three things together changes everything when the core of it is changed. And I think Evangelist mentioned it. You know, I got to be honest. We have got to have honesty in the inward part. And I think some things I get a hold to and I can't let go. And I got to believe it's not me, but it's the Spirit of God giving this revelation to somebody who did this spiritual fruit inspection, you know, and then Elder gave it to me. And it's like, if you read that every day, this is the month or the chapters for meekness, and if we read all of those things every day, Holy Spirit will show us how. First of all, He'll show us the scripture that they relate to. Because it's one thing to say meekness, the Bible says it's this, 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 this. But then when you take what the Bible says and put it into your daily conversation and life, it's like, oh, no, I'm not willing to step aside, you know, or bring myself under subject. No, be submissive. You know, to give a soft answer, that's what got me. No. And then that's when, okay, so go to the heart. Go back to what's in the inner man and be honest. Is it in harmony with the command of God and the wisdom of God? And I can only say, no, it isn't. And from that point, I must repent and turn. And that's when my transformation is strengthened. It is the progressing, because as you say, it's the constant transformation, because it's the constant influence being eliminated and another one taking over. So I am excited about this book. When Elder Roberta gave it to me, I thought, oh, I don't want to keep this book. But that's generally my action on all of the books. It's like, ah. You know, and that's because that's that inner man that is not the Lord, not wanting to be displaced. But he got to go. Praise the Lord. He got to go. He gone.
Obviously, you know, that's interesting that you used the word displaced, yes. Because I think that is really key. That's a pivotal kind of piece, yes. Right there. And I think that especially with, I know a lot of us group from different ministries and stuff like that, but when I think about, like, AEN, for those who are online that understand what the AEN does, that it is crucial, because a lot of times God is moving us to a place where some of our things with our denomination and reformation and our traditions are being challenged. And if we continue to hold on to those things when we know and have been given the revelation that is not only sin, but that could be really dangerous, because we can be leading people into a downward spiral by our influence, you know, because people may be looking at us in a particular way and they don't know, so we're leading them astray when we know, and we just don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be uncomfortable, or maybe we want, you know, I hear people say all the time, speak truth to power or whatever, but, you know, because I think the two things would happen, we can get uncomfortable, and then sometimes that puts us in a place where we need to make a decision. Like, okay, how uncomfortable, you know, is this a minor doctrinal thing, or is this a truth? You know, has the Lord revealed something to me that is totally, that I may be doing something totally different than what His Word is telling me? Mm-hmm. But when we see that, we need to pray, just like Daniel Saverla just said, that, you know, we need to pray before we read, so that we can have the courage and the inner fortitude to be able to say, Lord, if I've been taught wrong, and whether it's been 30 years worth of incorrectness or 50 years or whatever, give me the strength to be able to stand in the truth of Your Word, you know, and to be able to trust Him that He'll make all things work together, you know, because that would truly, you know, put us in a place where we are the called, you know, according to His purpose. But those kinds of decisions can be really, really tough, because it's kind of like, it almost speaks to, well, then, you know, was my mama wrong? Was my grandmama wrong? Was, you know, Reverend Do Right wrong? You know, or whatever, you know. It's not necessarily always error. Sometimes it can just be a interpretation of something. You know, you go back and you look at the Greek or you look at the Hebrew on the word, and it's like, well, that ain't really, really what it meant. And there are places in the scripture where I think we have been taught things just because that was just the way it was taught. You know, people, and nobody was trying to mislead anybody. Sure. It's just that, and then because we fail to handle the scripture ourselves, that we've just, what is the word, perpetuate, you know, that errant. So, you know, I guess the whole transformation is being able to, for me, is being able to have an open mind and being able to eat the whole scroll and be willing to move in that, you know, truly having the mind of God.
And it was interesting as you were talking. Again, I'm deferring back to this diagram that I have, And when Evangelist said you have to pray before you start reading, so what that really is doing is going to your inner core, that's where Holy Spirit is, pulling him out of just being hidden in my heart and causing him to affect what I see and what I say and what I read. My eyes are seeing this and I'm reading it, my ears are hearing it and I'm reading, but I've already put Holy Spirit in charge of it. And so as a result, he said he'll lead me into all truth. He will guide us. He will teach us. So as we pull him out the court, and he's there, and we know he's there, you know, and we depend on his presence, but we do not seek it in everything as we should. And so as she said, before you start, you know, you pray, Holy Spirit, what is it? Go to the inner man. That's where he is. And remember, it's his ministry in your life is to transform you. So where he's led you, he intends to teach you. And that's one thing about being meek is being teachable. And it's not that you judge, as you were saying, Elder, you know, what they did teach me was wrong and oh my goodness, no. It may have been the beginning of it for you. Now, that was the milk of it. Milk and a milkshake are totally different, okay? So you got the milk, now this is the milkshake. And so it tastes different, it looks different, it's got different consistency, it has different things in it. And so that's how as we grow in his word and as we grow spiritually, you know, we are adding more and more of the ingredients into our lives that is going to produce, you know, I go back to that cake and oven, that cake. So praise the Lord. We took a lot of time today. Slow start. I pray that you will go to chapter 2. We want to look at, in this chapter, we want to be mindful of a broken heart, a surrendered heart, and a heart of unbelief. Let the Lord show us if we are experiencing a heart of unbelief in any area, any topic, any insight that is given, a heart of unbelief. And unbelief in, obviously, the commandments and of God and the word of God. All righty. So, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we will start next week at 9 o'clock and we will have all of the technological issues will be handled. I pray for technological expertise and wisdom as we go forth with our blog talk, Words mm-hmm. from the Word. Thank our visitors. Oh, please join us. We pray you're able to follow us along with us. If you want to contact me, you can do so. And my phone number is area code 630-701-4303. I don't mind putting it on the air. It's 630-701-4303. You can also text me your email address. And we can send you some of the additional support things that we look at as we go through Guillermo Maldonado's Supernatural Transformation.
Come on now, come on, come on, come on. Guillermo Maldonado.
Okay. I did not say it right. I tried so hard.
You're saying it too slow. Guillermo. You got to just let it roll out. Guillermo.
I got to do it by syllables first so it roll out right. Then
the L's are not like our L's. They're almost like they're silent. Guillermo. So don't really think of the L's.
Guillermo.
Just think of Guillermo.
Okay. Guillermo.
There you go.
Maldonado. How's that? Better?
Yes,
well, it
ma'am.
Is better than the first time. First time I had it all wrong. So praise the Lord. We thank him for progress. Okay. So enjoy your worship. And I'll see some of you tomorrow, some of you Sunday, some of you Monday, some of you Wednesday. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. Amen. Amen. All right.
Amen.